Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How we handle money says a lot about who we are. Sure, the economy may be down, but God is still faithful. He'll honor our choice to put resources where moth and rust cannot corrupt. Today, lessons we can take home from a parable of Jesus about wise money management. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn with us to Luke chapter 16 as Erwin Lutzer wraps up a message on how to invest with your ROI in mind.
So that's the third principle. Money is a test. The fourth is that it reveals our loyalties. It reveals our loyalties. Notice what Jesus said in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You say, oh, yes, you can. I am. I'm sorry, but Jesus said you can't. Money reveals our hearts and our loyalties. And especially when we have lots of it and when we have almost none of it. It is all-consuming. We think about it when we don't have enough, and we think about it when we have a lot. And it reveals our loyalties. And the Bible says you can't serve God and money. Jesus said that. It would be like dancing to two different tunes. You've got this band over here and this band over here, and you're trying to dance to both of the sets of music. You just can't do that. Let me tell you candidly that if money becomes your God, it will eventually become your devil. That's why the Bible warns about it so much. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, this message is rather strong. Yeah, I think it is, but it's Jesus here that I've got to deal with. You know, that's the problem. When you're committed to Jesus, you deal with him. What do you think the people of his day thought? Verse 14, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things, and they ridiculed him. The word is they were filled with scorn toward him. You think they liked what Jesus said? No, not if they were lovers of money. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men. I'm sure they had 10 reasons why Jesus was going overboard on this topic. But God knows your hearts, for what is exalted among men, and what is exalted among men? Money. And what does Jesus say? It is an abomination in the sight of God. Obviously, I don't even have to say it, do I? That money is necessary. It's necessary for us to live. It's necessary for us to earn money, to pay bills, to transmute it so that we might meet friends on the other side. It's necessary for all that, be put to good use. But the reason that Jesus makes such a strong statement is because he knows, as we learned in the last message, is that money is always competing with God for our hearts, for our time, and for our attention. And so Jesus makes this amazing statement. It is an abomination to God. There is a fifth principle, and that is that what we don't use, we will lose. What we don't use, we will lose. Jesus pointed this out in other contexts, another parable, about the man who was given a talent, and you remember he hid it and refused to invest it because he wanted to play it safe. And in the end, Jesus said, I'm taking the talent from you, and I'm giving it to the person who is willing to risk it and to give all of the money and invest it in God's kingdom, and I'm willing to give it to him. But let's take it from this servant who wanted to play it so safe that he refused to invest it for his master. But also, in this story, in this chapter, there is a remarkable story of money. And this is why Jesus told it. We have to see this in context. It says in chapter 16, verse 19, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate there was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table." You know the rest of the story. The rich man goes to Hades and is tormented, and the poor man, Lazarus, he goes and he is in Abraham's bosom enjoying paradise. Why did Jesus tell this story here? What's going on? We use the story to talk about the characteristics of Hades and paradise. Jesus told it for another reason. He wanted to show how that the fortunes of the rich and the poor may be reversed in the future, namely in eternity. And here was a man who excelled in bling, if you know what I mean. He excelled in all of the things that people grasped at and wanted. And yet there he is. He's tormented forever. He's left all of his money behind. Jesus is not teaching, of course, that the rich go to Hades and the poor go to paradise. That's not the point of the story. The point is how money blinds you to the reality of what is on the other side, and how money can be so detrimental to your walk with God as it continues to encroach on your heart and take the place of God. That's the point. When I was a boy, I remember in this small church in Canada, we had a missionary come and talk to us about Africa. And I remember he spoke about how they would catch monkeys in Africa. They would take a pumpkin and they would hollow it out and they would put in the pumpkin whatever it is that monkeys like to eat, their favorite dessert. And then, of course, they'd close the top of the pumpkin. But what they would do is drill a hole through the pumpkin that was the size of a quarter. And the monkey would come along and he would put his paw through that small hole and then he would grab what he wanted to eat. And they could come and get him and kill the monkey. Now, all that the monkey had to do, even though he saw them coming, even though he knew that death awaited him, all that he'd have had to do is to open up his paw and let that food out, and he'd be able to bring his paw back through the hole, but he wouldn't. He hung on to it and hung on to it, and they could always trust him to keep hanging on until they caught him. Jack Benny, the comedian, said on one occasion that he had a gun shoved to his neck, and somebody says, "Your money or your life?" And he paused, and the guy said, "Well, which is it going to be?" And Benny said, "Give me some time. I have to find out what decision I make on this one." So what you have is somebody being willing to risk the kingdom of God because of his love of money. See, that's why Jesus said it is easier. And Jesus is saying this. Don't lay all this on me today, all right? I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the disciples said, "Well, who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know, with men it's not possible, but with God it is." Of course, there have been many, many wealthy people who have come into the kingdom of heaven. But money is so deceptive in its power, it can get such a hold of your life, you are saying, "I will not give in to Jesus Christ, because when I do, I have to recognize that my money cannot save me." As a matter of fact, after I receive Christ as Savior, he may want me to be generous, and I can't expect to do that. And so you can hug it to your bosom, and you can miss the kingdom of heaven, just like this rich man did, because you're so taken up with its seductive power. And at the end of the day, of course, as you know, as is evident, what we must recognize is that salvation does come, not because you're rich or because you're poor, But because you come in all humility and receive the free gift of eternal life, recognizing that what you bring with you does not help in your relationship with God. You leave it all behind, and you trust Christ as the only one who can save you. It is all God's. We are going through a difficult time, but God is going to be with us to test us and to develop worshipers. A pastor in Romania said these words. He said that 90% of the people in my congregation passed the test of persecution. When persecution came, they passed the test. They were faithful to God. He said, 90% of my people have failed the test of prosperity. The minute they're prosperous, they no longer attend church, they no longer are involved in ministry. Now they don't need God quite as much. God is testing us. And if we are faithful in that which is least, the text says, I'll give you the true riches. I'll give you that which is your own. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we do ask in Jesus' name that you will help us. We pray, Father God, for those who are going through times of real economic adversity. Help us to know how to help them. We pray for those, Father God, who are in positions where they can help. Make all of us a generous people. Help us to delight in giving, that we may have friends that welcome us into eternal dwelling places. Help us to think through how best to use it, so that in the end we can be faithful for what you've given us. And for those who are here who have never trusted Christ as Savior, help them to know that these principles, though important, are really beside the point, that they must come and realize their need of a Savior, that ultimately they must be saved from themselves first. Open their lives to your truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, I can't help but end this broadcast today by helping us to realize once again that the real emphasis of the New Testament isn't money, but it is receiving the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, it's true that this message is on the topic of how to use the resources God has given to us, but at the end of the day, it is not the right use of money that leads us to God. What leads us to God is the recognition that we are sinners and we need to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And after we've done that, then we give Him all that we own and we begin to work out our responsibility when it comes to finances. Always remember, the gospel is first.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up, invest with your ROI in mind. Another message on investing for eternity. Most of us don't live on farms, and we miss the lessons agriculture can teach us. Next time on Running to Win, join us for step one of believing in the harvest. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.